Hey, what's going on, everybody? Welcome to the Zoe Church Podcast. We're a church in Los Angeles that is all about the person and the message of Jesus. I'm excited to share a message from Daniel chapter 6 in just a moment, but I want to thank every person that gives and partners with us to help get this message around the world. If you'd like to give, you can go to our website or text Zoe to 77977 and we'll shoot you a link. But let's jump into this week's message, part two of a series. It's called today, The Spirit of Excellence Changes Everything. Go in your Bible, open up your Bible, and go with me to Daniel chapter number 6. Daniel 6, we are in part two of a new series that we're in called Clean, Clear, and Confident. We're talking together for the next few weeks about some of the values that we have at Zoe Church. And I think it's always good around springtime that anybody you ever do spring cleaning in your house, spring cleaning in your garage. There's nothing better than feeling clean and clear and getting that confidence. And I think so much of you being clean, clear, and confident has to deal with you living at the level God has called you to live at. And I think that there's three things that are important in your life. You're taking notes in your phone, write these three down. You need vision, values, and standards. You need vision. Vision, by the way, comes from God. God is a vision giver. He speaks in dreams. In fact, last night I was praying for my son when he was going to bed, my 10-year-old, and I prayed, God, I thank you that you would speak to him in the middle of the night. He opened his eyes. He goes, what? He said, what? I said, yeah, I'm praying to God. While you sleep, God will give you a dream. God will give you a vision. God will speak to you. So you need vision for your future. You need values that come from the Bible. And you need a standard for living. By the way, we don't try and manipulate God's word to fit into our life. We lift our life up to the standards of God's word. So you need vision. You need values. What's the last one? So you need standards to live by. And if you got these, I'm telling you, you're going to feel clean and clear and confident. We need these. And last week we kicked off the series. Chad and Orion did a great job. Clap for Chad and Orion in the all white. My man looking like a little angel up in this thing tonight. My God. Walking like he in his purity pants. My God. So Chad and Orion kicked it off last week. And he did a great job. He did a great job on the first installment. But I want to talk to you about another value that we have in our church. And this is, I got to be honest, this is one of my favorite things to preach about in the whole world. It's one of my favorite subjects and one of my favorite values. I want to talk to you tonight about the spirit of excellence. In fact, you can write down the title of tonight's message. It's called A Spirit of Excellence Changes Everything. And I just believe that for your life, that an excellent spirit, having a spirit of excellence, it will change everything in your life. And excellence, by the way, is what comes. It's a byproduct of serving an excellent God. Because God is excellent, those that follow him and worship him become like him. Let me just remind you, you become whatever you worship. Whatever you exalt in your life, or let me use another word, follow, you're becoming what you worship. You're becoming who you follow. When I was in high school, I got mad into basketball, and basketball became my God. And I worshiped a guy named Michael Jordan, number 23 from the Chicago Bulls, the greatest basketball player to ever play the game in the history of basketball. Somebody give me an amen. And so the more I followed Michael Jordan, the more I became like Michael Jordan. My mom would ask me to do chores, and I would do them with my tongue out. I'm like Michael Jordan. Because you become whatever you worship. And so those that worship God, they become like God. So if you worship a God of majesty and splendor and his excellence, you will in time become like his spirit. You will become excellent in a reflection of a good God, an awesome God. Amen to that? And so I love this about God. God develops inside of us as we serve him an excellent spirit. Watch here, Daniel chapter 6. Daniel 6 verse 1, it says, it pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 satraps and to be over the whole kingdom. And over these, there were three governors of whom Daniel was one. So it was Newsom, it was DeSantis, and Daniel. Three governors. I appreciate that right over there. It felt halfway sincere. And it says that the satraps might give account to them so that the king would suffer no loss. Then this Daniel, man, do I love this word, distinguish himself above the other governors and satraps because an excellent spirit was in him. An excellent spirit was in him. And the king gave thought to setting him over the whole realm. So the governors and satraps sought to find some charge against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could find no charge and no fault because he was faithful, nor was there any error or fault found in him. And then these men said, we shall not find any charge against this Daniel unless we find it against him concerning the law of his God. In other words, this guy's so excellent, the only dirt we got on him is that he's a Christian. Because there's such an excellent spirit and such a faithful standard about Daniel. The only thing that we could charge him with is that he's a follower of Jesus. And I'm just telling you, this changes everything when you start to develop an excellent spirit in your life. Excellent speaks. Excellent, it's noticeable. It's distinguishable. It will tell on you how excellent you are. When I was 22 years old, I was a youth pastor, in East LA for 6 years. And so that was from the time about 18 to 24. And I loved my time in East LA. And when I grew up in a denomination called Foursquare. They got churches all over America, all over the world. And when I was 22, they set me in as the one that would lead all the winter camps and summer camps for Southern California. So I'll never forget, the first camp that I had was winter camp. I was in charge of it. And it was up in Big Bear. And so I was, the camp director, 22, four chest hair, come on. And so we get bring 600 kids, high school kids, up to Big Bear in the winter in the snow. And so I'm in charge of it. So I treat it like it's the biggest deal ever. And so I'll never forget, I get up to Big Bear early, and I get into the auditorium, and I organized all the chairs so neatly together. I got all the rows. I'm telling you, you don't know how to build church unless you know how to stack chairs and organize chairs. Somebody give me a Pentecostal amen. I got them things all organized and all 600 chairs already. And they were smart enough to put, I had an older guy that was my boss, because I'm 22. So I'll never forget when the boss showed up on site and he walked into the room, the auditorium, the lights were ready and the worship team was ready and all the seats were organized. And he walked in and he jumped back. He goes, whoa. He goes, I can feel the excellence in this room. It was the first time somebody had put language or a compliment to my OCD problem. Felt blessed to be OCD. But he could, it was tangible. There was excellence there. There's something about excellence. Watch this. Let me just give you a definition. Excellence is the quality of being outstanding or extremely good, distinction, quality, superiority, brilliance, greatness, eminence, mastery, the characteristics of an excellent spirit. Watch this. It's great character, integrity, honesty, compassion, being humble and teachable, ever learning, a great work habit, dependable, meekness, consistent, confident, determination, diligence, adaptability, loving the Lakers, persistent, goal-oriented, enthusiastic, hating the Clippers, forgiving, self-disciplined, reliable, great steward, generous, grateful, bold, positive attitude, faithful, hopeful, surrendered to God, and Christ-like. How many of you, when you read that list, you go, oh God, help that to be my reputation. All these great things. God has called you to an excellent standard. Look at the opposite, which is being mediocre. Mediocre is average, ordinary, moderate quality, not very good, middle of the road, uninspired, undistinguished, indifferent. By the way, let me just pause on indifferent. I saw someone say recently that the killer of church today is indifference. That most people, when they leave church, it's not that they're going to another church, they just stop going to church in general. You know what I pray would be in our church? We don't have indifference, we have passion. We love the Word of God, we love the presence of God, we love the people of God. Come on, clap if you're a little bit fired up to serve Jesus with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. When you're mediocre, it's indifference and unexceptional, unexciting, unremarkable, run-of-the-mill, Dallas Cowboys. Mediocre or average is being the best of the worst and the worst of the best. And some of you, that's your life right there. You're okay with being the best of the worst. And it's not as bad as so-and-so. Well, it's not as bad as so-and-so. God didn't call you to compare your life with them. When you get to heaven, you'll be held accountable for the gifts and the talents that God has given your life. Amen? And he's called you to excellence. And then this Daniel distinguished himself because an excellent spirit was in him. People could notice, this guy's not like everybody else. He's something different. He's not average. He doesn't just blend in with everybody. He's not mediocre. There's an excellent spirit. Where did this excellent spirit show up from? From serving God and following God. And the more, watch this, the more the love of God is poured out into my life, it changes me. It takes me from ordinary to extraordinary. It takes me from the mundane to walking on the adventure of a lifetime, following and serving Jesus. Amen to that. And I'm just telling you, I'm praying that you would develop in your life an excellent spirit. It will change everything in your life. In fact, I'm going to give you four things to write down tonight. Write down number one, develop an excellent spirit in every area of your life. Every area of your life, all the buckets of your life, all the areas, every nook and cranny of your life. Try and become excellent in every area. Because, you know, maybe you got one area figured out or two areas and there's a few areas out of control. That's all right. God, my God, can turn a weakness into a strength. And that's why by his grace, let the weak say that I'm what? Strong by the grace of God. So if you're weak in an area, let's say physically you got all, you know, you got muscles and stuff like and you know, you never skip leg day. I did. And so, you know, but let's say you're killing it in one area. Just because you're winning in one area doesn't mean you're winning in the other. That's the problem with having kids. You know, I wake up early in the morning and I make our coffee and I read my Bible. I feel like I'm floating on a spiritual cloud. You know, I feel so great about myself. Julia wakes up. She comes to the kitchen. I give her the queen a kiss. You know, serve her coffee with a little dash of cream. I feel so great. And then I go to drive my boys to school and I open our doors to the van and the manifestation of sin and compromise and deviant behavior and the spirit of McDonald's is right there. And so if you're not in every area of your life, if you are still under construction, welcome to the club. But it doesn't mean God's done with you yet, because the Bible says he who has begun a good work will be faithful to complete that work. God's not done with you yet. So God is still raising, come on. He's still raising the level and the standard of living in your life. I love what Paul says to Timothy. Paul says to Timothy, but you, O man of God, flee these things, whatever those things were, and pursue righteousness, pursue godliness, pursue faith and love and patience and gentleness. Listen. The family you are building is more important than the family you come from. So I don't know what you had to leave, but I know what God's calling you to. You flee the past. I don't know the pain of your past. I don't know how checkered it is and what you've walked through and what you dabbled in and what you looked at and what you touched. But I know God is calling you to raise the standard of living. He said, flee the past. past. Pursue righteousness. Pursue holiness. Pursue faith. Pursue purity. I love what he told Timothy in another chapter. He says, listen, don't let anybody despise you because you're young. Age ain't nothing but a number. He said, don't let anybody look down on your youth. You set the standard in your faith, your love, your speech, your purity. Raise the level of excellence in your life. Don't let anybody tell you because you're a young age, you don't have to raise the standard. You serve the God that the moment you got the living spirit of Jesus on the inside, it automatically raises. Come on, clap and praise him tonight. I'm raising the standard. And if you don't raise the standard, you'll live in a world of regret. It'll become rottenness to your bones. Look at this scripture, Proverbs chapter 12, verse 4. An excellent wife is the crown of her husband. Thank you, Jesus, for Julia. But she who causes shame is like rottenness in his bones. You know what scripture's saying here? You find a good spouse that is trying to raise the level of excellence in their life. It's like wearing a crown of honor. And it's like I walk around like I just walked out of Burger King. You know, I married well. And it's a crown of honor of who I'm with. But if you don't try and raise, some people just satisfy, well, this is how I am. Well, this is the way God made me. I'm so grateful that you got saved and you have salvation. Thank you, Jesus. But anybody grateful that the moment of salvation began the work of sanctification and the Holy Spirit is changing you on the inside from glory to glory to look more like Jesus. And so in every area of your life, let me just see your hand. If you would love to be more physically fit and you would love a little bit more self-control with your diet and exercise, let me just see your hand. We just got back from spring break and I told Julia, I think I gained 5 pounds. I have no regrets because the tacos were awesome, but I just, you know, you got to get in check, you know. So we all have things, you know, you'd like to manage your money better and be better with your finances and, you know, control your Amazon spending and all that. You know, all of us have areas, but, you know, God doesn't go like, hey, well, you're like 60% strong. So we're just going to let the 40% continue to be dilapidated in your life. No, I'm just telling you, the more I worship him, the more he starts talking to me about the smallest areas of my life. I want you to surrender that. I want you to give me that. Freedom is a continual process. Excellence is a continual process because I receive the Spirit of God, which is the Spirit of excellence. You understand? And whenever you find excellence, write down number 2, wherever you find excellence, you will find favor because God's drawn to it. He's drawn to excellence, to the spirit of excellence. Why is he drawn to it? Because he is excellent. So he, you know, that's why God's drawn to, when you walk in holiness, God's drawn there because he's holy. And so whenever you walk and you raise that standard, he's not a God of chaos. He's a God of order. In fact, let me just show you this scripture. It's a beautiful scripture in 1 Corinthians 14:33. For God is not a God of disorder, but he's a God of peace. As in all the meetings of God's holy people. He's not drawn to chaos. My boys are wild. I got 3 boys, 1 girl, 3 boys. They are wild. They are so wild. I don't know if they're saved yet. They're wild. They are wilding out like they're on Nick Cannon. They are wild. They are, and I'm good with most of it. They talk to Alexa. They always ask Alexa to play a song, and it's always the dumbest song I've ever heard in my life. And I'm fine with most of it. I don't want the volume that loud, but every once in a while, I got my limits. You know what I mean? I can handle so much, and then finally, I'm like, Alexa, stop! Come here! Hey! I don't want what in my house?
Chaos.
That's right. What do I want in my home?
Peace.
That's right. I don't appreciate
health.
I want
peace.
I don't want all the crazy. God is not a God of disorder. And I don't have my bills in order. I don't got my friendships in order. I don't got my emotions in order. I don't got my spiritual. No, he's a God of order. And the more you get your life up to his standards, the more his favor will follow. Every time you prepare your life, it is a recipe for God's partnership, for God's blessing, for God's goodness. That's why he said with the guys at steward, he said, take from the bad steward and give it to the good steward. This guy's got no excellence. He's mediocre. This guy's got a spirit of excellence. He's a good steward. And the more you walk in that, the more, that's why I love this verse. Put up Colossians 3:23. I love this scripture, Colossians 3:23. It says, everything you do, do it wholeheartedly as unto the Lord. Not for man, not for eye service. In other words, your job that you're working, it doesn't matter whether your boss notices or not. It doesn't matter whether your parents see it or your coworkers see it. God sees it. And everything you're doing, you're not mailing it in. You're not just floating every day. You're not just spending your whole day on social media. You are working for God's service. You are working to please the Lord and serving to love the Lord. And that's where when you do that and you work, listen, I might not have their job, but I got my job. I might not be in their city, but I'm in my city. And I'm going to work this ground. I'm going to work this job to the best of my ability. And I'm going to please God with my work ethic. Isn't that good right there? That just makes me so excited to get up tomorrow morning. I'm going to drink that coffee. I'm going to give the queen a kiss. I'm going to get in that demon-possessed van. Drive those kids to school praying in the, she came in a Mazda, left in a Honda. I'm going to feel fine. But whenever you get, you know, it's a cheesy saying, but let's just apply it tonight. Your separation is in your preparation. And what really separates you, Daniel distinguished himself. Why? Because every day, remember, he would open the windows 3 times a day and he would what? He'd pray. And the more he worshiped God, the more this excellent spirit landed on his life. And he got favor. How much favor did he get? Well, he was top three. That's how much favor. And he just kept scaling. Why? Because God saw, I can promote you. I can use you. You don't got a bunch of chaos in your life. You've got your things in order. I just want to encourage you, get your life in order. This message is not even about tonight as much as I'm preaching to your Monday today. Get your Monday in order. Get your life in order. Get your future in order. You ever notice that all your stress is just not knowing what's going on? Get your calendar in order. You understand? And so we are called to, in every area of our life, have excellence. And when we do this, God's favor, I promise you, will just land on your life. People will walk in, whoo, I feel the excellence. And I want to let you know, the enemy of excellence in your life, write this down, number three, the enemy of excellence is offense. You may not walk in an excellent spirit the moment you grab a hold of unforgiveness. When offense takes root and starts to embed itself in your life, the excellence that you once walked in is thrown out the window. So you could have an excellent spirit, become offended, and it's gone. So you must, to the best of your ability, say, I will allow the Holy Spirit to control the narrative of my life. I will not take, I'm not a victim. This is how Joseph never compromised his excellent spirit. Everywhere he went, he had an opportunity for offense, but he rejected offense so that he could serve God. He gets thrown into a pit by his brothers, and instead of being offended, he just maintained his spirit. He goes into Potiphar's house, falsely accuses him, but he didn't let it crease his spirit. He goes into prison and he's forgotten about, but he never creased his spirit. Everywhere he went, he maintained his faithfulness, his worship, his attitude, his love, and his loyalty to God. If you ever want to lose your excellence, become offended. You got to stay with the things of God and allow God to move in your life. Oh, I love this. Ephesians 4, don't grieve God. Don't break his heart. His Holy Spirit moving and breathing you is the most intimate part of your life, making you fit for himself. Don't take such a gift for granted. Make a clean break with all cutting, all backbiting, all profane talk. Be gentle with one another, sensitive, forgiving one another as quickly as thoroughly as God and Christ forgave you. Do you remember how quick God was to forgive you? When you came to God and you were like, God, I'm so sorry. I messed up. I did this. I did that. I'm so sorry. God didn't fold his arms and go, well, I'm going to have to think about it. I've heard your case, and I thank you for painting the full picture. I'm going to talk with the committee, and we're going to decide your punishment. But I don't just hand out forgiveness like this. No, Christ, when he was on the cross, was already saying, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. So God has forgiven you your past, your present, and your future sins. You have been forgiven by the blood of Jesus Christ. And so it says, as quickly as Christ forgave you is as quick as you should forgive somebody else. I don't know about you, but that is one of the most challenging realities of life, is forgiving people that hurt your feelings. I was gifted by God to hold on to offense. How about you? It's one of my greatest gifts, is holding on to things. And I've had to learn through the power of the Holy Spirit that if I hold on to stuff, it will crease my spirit. And so to maintain a spirit of excellence, I have to have a forgiving spirit. Look at this next scripture. Watch what Proverbs says about an offended person. It says, a brother offended is harder to win over than a strong city. You ever have a friend that gets offended and they won't text you back, won't FaceTime you back, won't call you back, and they're just all up in their feels and they're all offended, and you know, you're trying to invite them over, you're trying to hang out, but they won't do it because what are they doing? They're holding on to that offense. And you and I have been there as well. An offended person is hard to win over. But you know what an excellent spirit is? It's winning. It's smiling. It's a positive attitude. It's gratitude. It's loving life. It's loving what God's given you. Don't fall into the enemy of excellence, which is an offended spirit. Amen. I want to invite the worship team to come back. Here's the last thing. Number four, this is a heart issue, not a head issue. This is not about what you know up here. This is about what you allow God to do right here. A spirit of excellence is not about knowing business practices, Forbes list, or Harvard Business Law, or this leadership guru, or I watched a TED talk. It is not head knowledge. It's at the heart level. That's how a spirit of excellence. By the way, a spirit of excellence has nothing to do with your outfit, and it has everything to do with your spirit. It's a spirit of excellence. And so don't think it's what you know here. Oh, yeah, I know that. I know that. Yeah, but the more you allow God to love you and heal you and restore you, and the more you allow God to touch your heart, the more you will naturally develop that spirit of excellence in your life. It's not about what you know up here. It's not about head knowledge. I was telling somebody this last week. Again, I was in Alabama this last week. I think I mentioned that already. I love Alabama with my whole heart. I don't know why. Julie and I love Alabama. We vacation there every summer. Just love Alabama. I don't love their sports teams, but I love the state. And I was telling somebody in Alabama that I'm preaching on excellence this weekend. And he goes, he said, when I was in college, I was a business major and I studied excellence. And one of the researches that I did was on returning customers. And he said, anybody could get a one-time customer, but we studied how does somebody get a returning customer. And he said, the number one reason why a customer comes back, it is not proximity to their home. It is not price point or sales. It has nothing to do with like a return policy. The number one thing we found was comfort. Because when there's comfort, and that's what excellence does. When there's comfort, people are drawn back to where they're comfortable. I thought that's why I love God's presence. It's because when I'm with God's presence, the spirit of excellence, I find the most peace, the most hope, the most joy, the most love. Come on, has anybody found God's presence to have the most comfort in your life? That's why when you got excellence, people get around you and they're not intimidated by your excellence. They're drawn to your excellence because you're a safe place for them. And this is not something that you can just know about. This is something you got to know about. It's not heady, it's hearty. And God all of a sudden does something, a great work in our hearts, and develops. People can recognize, oh man, I can just tell you've been with Jesus. I love in the book of Acts, there's this group of guys and they were walking by and they could tell that some of the disciples, it said, we could tell you are uneducated, you are untrained, but you have been with Jesus. And whenever you spend time with Jesus, people can recognize it. Then this Daniel distinguished himself above Newsom and DeSantis and all the other governors because an excellent spirit. Why did he get an excellent spirit? Because he was a worshiper. And when you worship, you become what you worship. And you cannot behold his glory. You cannot behold his splendor. You cannot gaze upon his countenance and not become like my God. When you gaze upon him, you are changed from glory to glory into the very image of the Son. Oh, come on, clap together tonight. If you're grateful, this is the God stuff. That's why you will not change yourself. I know you want to get better. I know you want to improve. I know you want to break that chain. But the only way to find freedom is to find Christ. The freedom you're looking for is found in Jesus. And the more you lift your hands, the more you lift your voice, the more you exalt who God is in your life above your circumstance, I'm telling you, you'll develop the spirit of the living God working in your life. And God will start to do things in your life where you're like, how did I get here? I know where I came from. I know what I used to be, but how did I show up and end up here? I know how ordinary and mediocre I am in my own right. It was crazy. After 11:30, I was out in the courtyard. I love to just walk around and say hi to people, and I met so many amazing, we have the best people at Zoe Church. Do you love our people? And I met the best people today. And I met this family that just moved here from North Carolina. It's a group of maybe six or seven of them. They all just moved from North Carolina and they're older. In fact, one of them, she says, do you have any small groups for 59-year-olds? And I was like, first of all, give me your accent. I could preach so much better with that. And the guy, the dad, he said, he started to tear up. He said, you know, when you read that list about mediocre, I thought to myself, you're describing me. And one of the family members put their hand on his shoulder and said to the father, don't worry, we're all under construction. We're all raising the level and the standard. So what would develop the spirit of excellence? If you come to Zoe Bible School on Wednesday night, if you join a connect group, yeah. Like, I hope to see you there Wednesday, I'm teaching. But there's just nothing like worshiping Jesus. It's not about what you know, it's about what you know. You know, when Judas got off track and Judas fell in love with money and sold out Jesus for money, and he paid the consequences for those choices, the church was left without a leader. And they're trying to decide, who do we choose? And they come before the Lord and they say, Lord, we really don't know who you want in this place, but can you tell us? For you alone know the hearts of all men. God knows your heart. God's doing good things in your heart. All he needs is an open door. All he needs is an open sliver to come in and to heal you and wash you and redeem you and restore you. Let him love you today. Come on, clap and thank God today. He's going to restore us to who we're really called to be. Come on, stand to your feet. Stand to your feet. I want to read just one more definition of excellence. Excellence describes the nature and the character of something. It describes the nature and the character of something. The very nature and character of God show us what is good, perfect, holy, and excellent. Excellence describes the nature and the character of something. And it describes for us what purity looks like. It describes what holiness looks like. We can see who God is as we lift our eyes above our circumstance. And as we gaze upon his countenance and beauty, as we look at him, we see, oh, that's what it looks like to be holy and righteous and pure. Does anybody want to gaze upon God tonight to understand, come on, who he really is in our life? Come on, let's pray tonight. Father, we thank you.